Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Tuesday, March 6, 2018, and it's a topic. I thought I've talked about this topic before. How capable are we when it comes to accepting your own strengths or any of us? How capable are we? We talk about it all the time. But Christ had something else to say because we know we can do things. You know, we know what we want to do. We are already capable. We are already ready. We are already loved enough. All systems are in place, and yet why do we always feel like we are not doing our best? How capable do we feel when we do feel good and ready to go? You know, there's always times. There's times where you feel like, oh, not today. I get that. But then there's times where you feel like, oh, I'm ready, but you still don't do it. You go do something else you enjoy doing or something easier or less time intensive. But do you stop yourself for another day just to get to your dreams? Do we really, I know we don't enjoy doing it, but do we really believe when we're putting something off that it's going to work? And never have arrived simply because, you know, you just think you'll get there one day. So I had to pose the question because I have been talking a lot about strength lately, about endurance, about doing what you need to do. When, when the Kansas City Royals approached us about Thotic, it's been going on for like 6 weeks, maybe longer. And, you know, one call, questions, then we hear nothing. Another call, questions, we hear nothing. Another call, questions, we hear nothing. And we, you know, learned to be very patient, and we trusted. We really, really trusted that, you know what, if this is meant to be, it will be. It will happen. We knew. We didn't even think about why or what. We just knew in our hearts, and the process was good. You know, Thotic and I, you know, we don't bug people too much or at all, actually. We don't ask that many questions when it comes to these things because a lot of these are protocol that's happened over and over and over again in history that you just know, you know, hurry up and wait, hurry up and wait, hurry up and wait. But then they did a psychological evaluation on me. They did it on Thotic. And so I obviously was in the room with my son, and they asked him a question. And I guess the question, it stuck in my mind out of all the questions because it was true for every single person, baseball included or not. And the question was, Tariq, how do you know it's baseball? How do you know you love baseball? And he thought about it for a minute because, you know, it's like a no-brainer. Well, I love to play. Well, I love to do this and I love to do that. But he waited and I thought, oh, he probably can't think of anything because, you know, I'm the mom. And he says, I knew I loved baseball when I still wanted to come back after a bad day. And I thought, holy cow, that's true for every single thing we do. If there's something we really love, someone we really love, still go back the next day. And we try again. And we do it again. And then we try again. and we do it yet again. And even a third time, and a fourth time, and a tenth time, and a hundredth time. It's not about giving up. That's just how you know. When you really are living in your strength, think about it. You just find a way. So I thought, okay, why do some people jump into their strength? And why do some people not jump into their strength? I can feel it when I'm in mine. I can also feel it when I'm not. And once in a while in life, you go through that where you just want to shut all systems down. There's times when things were so hard for me because, you know, you live to be 55. You're going to have some really hard times. Not that, oh, poor me. We've all had them. We've all had to deal with turning points in our life. But everything we've tried, we actually succeeded because we tried. We knew we didn't want to be in that position forever. We knew at some point we want to graduate school, whatever level of school we're in, we're not going to stay there forever. So there's this push that comes in that, you know, we've learned to push ourselves to get things done. But even that feeling is different than accepting your strength. So when I asked Christ, how capable are we? He said, everybody is obviously capable. But sometimes mentally we don't allow for that. And these were the reasons why. He said that we have this mechanism in us that takes us as far as denial of our strength. Oh, I can't do that. Why can't you? Why can someone else do that and why can't you? Instead of saying, I can't do that, your most honest answer to yourself would be, I won't do that. You can only care about something a little bit when you won't do it. I don't care how big it is in the world. But if you actually won't do it, somehow the passion, your passion, did not override the voice that says you can't do it. Because it's so easy to accept, I can't. Oh, I can't do that today. Are you kidding? I've got this and that. And you really do have this and that to do. But I would bet my life, if you wake up tomorrow, you will also have this and that. So the way to accept your strength is to tell yourself the truth about why you won't do things. Maybe you really are busy. Maybe your kids are little and, you know, you don't have a babysitter and you pick them up from school and you bring them home and there's showers and homework and food and by that time you're, you know, dead to the world. But then there's weekends. But the most important thing is just to say, I can't do that at this time in my life. I'll keep it on the back burner, but I'll work on it for at least an hour a week because that hour you won't feel. Even people tell me they want to write a book or they want to write or they want to sit still, they want to make a list, they want to keep a journal. These are little things, not big things. But they're little things that feed and support the big things. The only way to begin to accept your strength of any kind, whether it's organization, raising your kids, wanting to do something different, wanting to retrain for a different position, wanting a different job altogether, maybe planning to stay home for a couple of years to raise your kids if you can, and finding a way to save the kind of money you need to be able to do that? But the way we stop ourselves every day by not starting, because sometimes we think it's all going to happen as soon as we're ready. Sometimes it does if you've worked on it along the way. Taking notes, taking one notebook and just putting all your notes in it towards that. Because you do get those flashes of inspiration here and there. You'll be doing dishes or cleaning up outside or driving to work or driving back from work. And you'll get these moments of, oh, I don't want to forget that. But then you don't write it down anywhere or record it into your phone, and you do forget it. And you say, God, what was that? And it might not even be 10 minutes later. And you'll be going, what was that? I can't remember the exact words. What did I just hear? What did I just think? I've learned to pull over, because some of those things that were said to me, even from myself to me, because there is a conversation. We have conversations in our head. Who are you having that conversation with? Think about that. Doesn't it feel like two yous? The one you that knows you better than the one you that doesn't? And the part of you that knows you better than the part of you that doesn't talks to each other? And one tries to convince the part of you why you shouldn't, and the other tries to convince the part of you why you should? Imagine, there's two of you in one body. And you talk to yourself. You talk to your other self. Then your other self talks back. And then you convince yourself. There was a man I dated a while ago, and I remember so clearly standing in his kitchen. I was at the house alone. It was like in the morning, and I can't remember why I was there, but I was there, and I was there alone. And very clearly, I knew I would never marry or live with that man. I knew as clear as day. Enough to where I said it to my friend. I said, there's no way. So having said that, that day I'm driving home, and I say to myself, well, if I know that, why am I there? The whole point of being in a relationship, the whole point is to build it towards probably marriage or long term. But I knew as clear as day. And what did I do? I tried to prove myself wrong. My kids knew it. My son would tell me every day, what are you still doing there? I'd say, I don't know. There must be something I need to learn. Because I honestly don't know why I'm here. I cannot see a future. I want to see a future. But I cannot. Because something that I had to find out was why. Here's this seemingly really good person. Time started to unfold. There was nothing wrong with the person. I didn't have to get a laundry list of what's wrong with him. Nothing wrong with him. But I realized that if I stayed there, there would be no way I could do this work. Even though it was on one level supported, it wasn't understood. It was just looked at, and I know this is going to sound funny because it should be looked at. And this makes me laugh about myself because I think I have too much passion. But it should be looked at as a business that makes me a lot of money. But the truth is, I love doing this. My passion is so high that I overlooked certain parts. And it turned out he kept waiting for me to, like, you know, he'd sit down with me at night and write down all these ways to monetize. And I don't mind monetizing anything. But that push, that pressure, and only what I'm doing to be looked at as a means to that end. And I will probably make a ton of money doing this. I could see that already. But I never, ever think of it. But I know I have to live. But the way it was presented was that was the only reason to do it. And it made me feel very cheap and contrived and weird, and I didn't know how to accept all of that and slap it on top of how I felt, because it felt weird to me, and it wasn't the person's fault, and it wasn't that I don't want to make money, but I knew there were ways around it to make money because I didn't want it to affect my writing and my doing the show and all of these things. It was a very interesting, fine thing. But because of that, I knew my work wasn't seen for what it was. It was very weird, but I didn't just want to be an additional paycheck to the relationship, which is what the ultimate goal was to do. And I know, because now I am working on, you know, doing monetization, and I can do it in a way that it doesn't, this information is available to everybody, which is really what I wanted. And once I crack this code, and we're cracking it as I speak, and I figure out how to do that, I am going to create that template for other authors and for other people, and that's what I'm working on right now, because when people are creative or they have a gift, that gift gets interfered with when you force it out of someone. And I couldn't do that to myself. I couldn't use, in quotes, Christ. It's a very interesting, delicate thing. Because the beauty of it, that's so natural that when you start slapping stuff on it, it's like, I love cooking, but if I had to cook for a living, then I'd be in the kitchen all day. And I probably wouldn't mind it, but I need to do this. And at first I thought, gosh, you know, I'm really not that smart. You know, like, why would I do that? And I realized, you know, maybe I'm missing a screw or something. And then I thought, no, I'm not. The one thing that happened to me when I saw Christ was that I knew I would always protect the information. I wouldn't let it get abused. I wouldn't let it get used. I knew that its best work would come when you just hear it, because that's how I learned. That's how I felt good. That's how I felt clean. That's how I felt in my strength. And so I was on a quest to find it not being used, but just being open. And it was a fine energy difference. But for me to live and accept the strength I had, I realized I had to do it a certain way. And it cost me a lot of interesting twists and turns in the process, but through that, I did find truth, and I did find love, and I did find purity in many beautiful people, and I got to live in that beauty, and that ended up being worth everything. It kept me grounded. It kept me feeling clean. It kept me feeling clear. It kept me feeling open. Nothing is ever as it seems. Had I not accepted my strength, I could not have done it. And the reason that person was in my life was to show me that. Because the idea was, well, people will do this. Well, people will do that. I'm like, who are these people? I'm not here to get people to do anything. That really, really bothered me. It's very hard for someone to get me to do something about something I'm not so sure about. But if I'm open, then I know it can be received with that. And that part was so important to me that it put everything else second to that feeling. And he had a very important, very beautiful, very poignant job to really teach me that. And he did. And I thanked God for him, and I thank God for that. And that was why that instinct I had, it played itself out, and then I knew why. And it also tells you where you don't belong when we listen to our instinct. I remember my son thinking I wasn't, and I kept saying, I get it. I know I'm not staying there, but please give me the time to figure it out. And in that time, I also was able to help his family, not just him, his family, in seeing that love does matter. Because everything was just so cut and dry. So there was the yin and the yang. It's a very interesting thing. When you can accept your strengths, you will know when something is coming up against your strength. And it either reinforces your strength or you succumb, and then you go back later and say, wait a minute, that's not where I belong. This is where my strength is. This is where I feel strongest in life. There's a very, I want to say, like underlining support to our capability. And that's our gut feelings. That's our instinct. It always knows. And you might not be able to react quickly as you want to on your instinct, which is another thing I learned, because I still had to go through the lessons because I didn't understand yet what the lesson was. But every time we'd have dinner, there'd be a piece of paper of how I need to do all these things. And I thought, okay, and I'm by myself. But now in the right environment, I'm learning to do those things so that I can continue to do this without it interfering in my greatest strength. Because the other way was taking away my strength, and this way I'm feeding my strength. There's it's a different mindset of what I can accept. But the fact that I understood what drives me told me what I could do and what I don't want to do, because it won't make me feel good. It would erode underneath me, become a very beautiful process, a very open process, a very different process. But let's say that I succumbed to the other thing. Let's say I decided I was going to stay in the other relationship and I was going to have this person jump into my business and do this and do that, and I listened. I wouldn't be comfortable. You wouldn't feel that authenticity or the love, because I would now be in a place where I had this end goal that wasn't what I was actually doing. And eventually, I would probably say, you know what, I don't enjoy this anymore. I can't do it. But because I understood how much I love this, I pulled back and said, wait, that is not okay. I know that. I don't belong there. I don't think like that. And I pulled myself back. And I felt so good. Even though I didn't know where I was going yet, I knew that I had to find a bigger way, a bigger-minded way. Because when you accept your strength, that's when we grow into areas of doing things that don't have a template yet. but we will create that. We're always creating something. We're always trying to do something better. Yesterday, I read an article about Apple, and Apple has these great products. We all love the iPhone. The iPhones have changed everybody's life, and now, you know, there's a lot of copies to that and all of these things, but iPhone overstepped its boundaries with the iPhone 10. It ended up being, okay, $1,000 for a phone, even though the other phones were $800. That $200 took people over the edge, and it didn't really offer that much new enough to justify having a $1,000 phone. It also became something you carry that people could rip off, and it just created its own issues. But Apple would just keep charging a little more, a little more, a little more, and before you know it, we're paying crazy money for a computer or a phone. So what they did was they realized they're going to, you know, slow down production on the iPhone in September, on the 10, and now they were going to push the 8, and, you know, they're trying now to backtrack. But what also happened was they decided to have the MacBook Air, let's say, at $999, right under $1,000, which is the same price as the iPhone X, because they needed now to compete. Because what happened was, while they thought they were so far ahead, their competitors came up from behind and made pretty much equivalent product for half the cost. So people said, you know, I was going to get this, but why would I pay $1,300 for that? I could pay $600 or $700 for a Lenovo or something, or for a Microsoft product, or for Samsung phone. And it can do this and this and this. And before, we were all joined up from our phone to our computer to our sports watch, whatever it was. Everything was in sync. But because it went too far, it's now made a difference to their bottom line, because people are saying, okay, that's gone too far. How far do I go with this? And it's just going to get more and more and more expensive. Let me scale back. And enough people did that for it to make a difference to the bottom line. So now they're backtracking, saying, oh, look, wait, we got a product here that's... And that's how I feel, but I do it with information, building and building and building. And I also know that if we just hear each other, there's no other barriers or anything put on it, you can always have it available. You can always learn from it. Because there comes a point where you really learn enough to be able to use that information to start doing stuff with it. Because once your strength builds, once your surety builds yourself, then your next step is to take action. There's never a point where your strength will overbuild. Just never will happen. You will always have something to learn. It's not like the iPhone. It's a product. You can max out on, okay, how much more can it do other than propel me into the air and fly? But your strength will take you everywhere you go. There is no end cap to it. You guys, I can't believe the time is already up for today, but just remember, whatever it is you want to do, find a way. It will change every single thought that you have in your heart. You guys, I love you very much, and I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.